The Lord be with you.
And with
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. The disciples were on their way going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus went ahead of them. They were amazed, and those who followed were afraid. Taking the 12 aside again, he began to tell them what was going to happen to him. Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be handed over to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and hand him over to the Gentiles, who will mock him, spit upon him, scourge him, and put him to death. But after 3 days he will rise. Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to Jesus and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." He replied, "What do you wish me to do for you?" They answered him, "Grant that in your glory we may sit, one at your right and the other at your left." Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you are asking. Can you drink the chalice that I drink, or be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized?" They said to him, "We can." Jesus said to them, "The chalice that I drink you will drink, and with the baptism with which I am baptized you will be baptized. But to sit at my right or at my left is not mine to give, but is for those for whom it has been prepared." When the 10 heard this, they became indignant at James and John. Jesus summoned them and said to them, "You know that those who are recognized as rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones make their authority over them felt. But it shall not be so among you. Rather, whoever wishes to be great among you will be your servant. Whoever wishes to be first among you will be the slave of all. For the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." The Gospel of the Lord. Jesus says, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. We call Jesus the Son of God. And from our Trinitarian theology, we regularly call Jesus Son of God. But have you ever noticed? Jesus never calls himself Son of God, not even once. Invariably, Jesus prefers to call himself not Son of God, but Son of Man. 81 times in the scriptures, Jesus calls himself the Son of Man. Have you ever noticed that? Have you ever wondered what the explanation is? You might find this interesting. Let's take a closer look. In the Old Testament, the phrase Son of God is actually very common. It just means living saint, and it's used all over the place. Adam, for example, is called Son of God, and King David is called Son of God, and Solomon is called Son of God. And would you believe it? In Psalm 82, every devoted follower of God is called Son of God. Very common phrase, basically just means living saint. And Jesus never calls himself this, and probably because no living saint would ever call himself a living saint. Instead, invariably, Jesus says, Son of Man. Now, that's a very specific term with two specific meanings in the Old Testament. One comes from Ezekiel, and the other comes from the book of the prophet Daniel. God calls Ezekiel the Son of Man. And by that, God means that Ezekiel will be his humble and obedient servant, even in the most difficult tasks. That was what was meant by Son of Man in Ezekiel. But in Daniel, it's very different, totally different. Daniel describes the Son of Man as a divine character in a heavenly vision. He says, "I saw one like a Son of Man riding on the clouds of heaven. All nations shall worship him. His kingship shall never be destroyed." And do you see now why Jesus calls himself Son of Man? He is the one from that vision in the book of Daniel. He is the one whom all nations will worship. His kingship will never be destroyed. What? He's also the humble, obedient servant of the Father who does whatever the Father asks of him, no matter how difficult it might be. And it's that last little bit that James and John and you and me don't seem to understand. For some silly reason, we all think we're all just going to coast into heaven without really even breaking a sweat. No price tag whatsoever. James and John turn to Jesus and they say, "Lord, we want to be great in your kingdom. Make us sit one at your right and the other at your left." Jesus says, you don't know what you're asking, do you? You want to be great? You better be prepared to drink the cup I drink from, to be baptized with the baptism with which I'm baptized. And by that, he means to share in my cross. The only time anybody's at Jesus' right and left in all the Gospels are the two thieves on Calvary. You want to share in Jesus' cross? That's where real greatness is found in this world. And of course, all the other apostles get mad. They say, "We want to be great too. We don't leave us out." And Jesus says, "I wish you could all be great. Would that everybody would be great. Would that everybody would be great in God's sight and share in my cross, but you must choose it." And that's really the key. You must choose it. Suffering comes into every life. The question is, what do you do with it? Now, there's four possible responses you can have to suffering that comes into your life. You can complain about it. You can stoically endure it. You can see it as a means to an end, or you can choose it. Of course, when suffering comes, you can always complain about it, can't you? It's what most of us do. "Why me, Lord? Why me? I'm such a good person, Lord. Why should I ever have to suffer?" If you complain about the cross that comes into your life, I'm sorry to tell you, you're getting worse, not better. Then, of course, you can stoically endure it. That's where you clench your fists and you say, "This too shall pass." And I guess that's a little bit better than complaining out loud, but it's not much better. You can also see it as a means to an end. You know, you can say pain is weakness leaving the body, or whatever doesn't kill me makes me stronger. And I guess that's a little bit better. But you know, it's entirely this worldly. There's nothing sacred about it. What we want to do is choose it. You know, like one friend would choose to be with another in that friend's hardship. Maybe they're having a hard time. Maybe they're in the hospital, something like that. Only a close relationship would ever have anyone want to choose to share in somebody else's suffering. But that's what faith asks of us. That's what discipleship means. That's what God asks of all of his followers. Our saint for the day is St. Augustine of Canterbury. He once had this to say on the subject. In a prayer, he said, "You, Lord, are my portion. Let others choose themselves. Let others choose creatures. But as for me, I choose God alone, my whole inheritance." Let's try to make that our prayer as well. To pray it in here, to live it out there. And we'll ask for the prayers of the saints to help us today. St. Augustine of Canterbury, pray for us.